ولا أرض أرضاه. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: كل نفس ذائقة الموت ونبلوكم بالشر والخير فتنة وإلينا ترجعون. صلوات. Since this speech is about the Isal al-Sawab of Marhuma, I would like to mention some of those important points that our great scholars have mentioned about the sunnat and tradition of imtihan and test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has announced in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always tests and examines the people through various things. And no one, including the prophets and the imams, is exempt and mustathna from this law. It is also possible in Islam that a person can be put to test without his fault. Like it is also very likely that a person can be put to test because of his taqseer and fault. So both ways is possible. We don't have the ilm al-ghayb, so we cannot say about a person why a person is put to test by Allah. The ma'sumeen alayhi salatu wassalam can say, but we are unable to say that because we don't have the knowledge about that thing. But the reason of imtihan can be both. And the tests which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the issue of testing the people, issue of test has been mentioned in the Holy Quran approximately 20 times in various ayat in the Holy Quran, and it is considered to be one of the consistent sunnat and formula of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which He never deviates from any of His traditions. As we discuss the sunnat of imtihan, there are several questions which are obviously raised and very commonly raised. First of all, why does Allah stand in need of testing anybody when Allah knows all the things? And second of all, how are the people tested? The wasailul imtihan, the means through which the people are put to test. And third of all, the discussion which is very important about imtihan is the reaction of the people who are tested. You know, how the people react to that. And last of all, the ways of sa'adat and spiritual success. How can we guarantee that we
can be successful and we can pass these tests successfully, what are the solutions provided by Islam to make sure that we pass these tests successfully? As far as the first question goes, that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us to test and imtihan, whereas Allah doesn't stand in need of knowing anything about anyone because He has the ilm al-ghayb, absolute knowledge of everything before He created us. So it is important to realize that the reason of testing is not because Allah needs to know, because Allah knows already. The reason of the tests is because of the fact that our istihqaq is not achieved without the test. We do not become mustahak of the reward or the punishment unless and until we are tested by Allah. So for us to become mustahak and deserving of any sawab or iqab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we require to be tested. And our istidad, our capabilities, our potentials, you know, all those istidadat and potentials that we have in ourselves does not surface up unless and until we are tested. So there's not the reason why Allah is testing that He wants to discover, because that doesn't apply in His case. He knows everything already. Allah could have acted upon His own knowledge, like some people say, well, Allah knew everything, so why didn't He act upon His own knowledge and He did according to what He knew? Well, this is against the entire theme and against the entire world view and Jahanbini-e-Islami, you know, Islamic world view and Islamic nazariya and Islamic aqidah and concept of why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creations and created the human beings and the jinns, and why we are created and put to test. The whole concept would shatter if Allah will just act according to His knowledge. Remember in the incident of Qadiyatul Hakamain, when the dispute arose between the inside the army of Imam Ali alayhi salatu was salam during the Battle of Siffin. And the Khawarij, these people who later are called Khawarij, they objected on Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, because Amr ibn As was a very cunning guy who tricked the people in a way that when the battle was a lost battle for Muawiyah, he was losing the battle, he tricked the people who are silly. And that's how always the humaqa and silly people become the victim of these tricks. Throughout the history, I mean, even today it is true. The intelligent people who have basirat never get tricked. So Amr ibn As asked Muawiyah to raise the Holy Quran on the niza and spear, and announced to the army of Ali that we are with Quran, so don't fight against us. If you are with Quran, then you are, why are you fighting against Al-Quran al-Natiq? Quran al-Natiq was Imam Ali alayhi salam. And the Holy Prophet had already said, Ali ma'al-Quran wal-Quran ma'ali. Ali ma'al-Haq wal-Haq ma'ali. Then why are you fighting against him? But then the people are silly. And that's what exactly happened, and Amr ibn As was right, that this trick is going to work. And it worked very well. And a lot of people, thousands of people on the side of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam started to oppose him. And the long story short is that it was decided that let's make hakamain, one hakam, one judge from our side, one judge from Muawiyah's side, and let these two hakamain, these two judges decide on this niza and controversy. And finally, when Abu Musa Ash'ari was sent from Imam Ali's side, for that judgment process, Imam Ali alayhi salam said to him, that أحكم بكتاب الله ولا تجاوزه. That means do your judgment according to the book of God and don't violate. That means don't go beyond the limits of Quran. And when Abu Musa Ashari left, Imam Ali alayhi salam said, كأني به وقد خدع. As if I am seeing him that he will get deceived. Abdullah ibn Abbas heard that statement of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Oh, so you are saying that as if you are watching him right now that he is about to get deceived. So when you know that he is about to get deceived, then why are you sending him? Imam Ali alayhi salam said, لو يعلم الله في عباده بعلمه ما احتج عليهم بالرسل. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did his if Allah works, if Allah adopts the policies of acting according to his own knowledge among his people, among the servants, if Allah starts acting according to his knowledge, then he will never bother, he will never send down the messengers for ihtijaj, for itmam al-hujjat on the people. So what we learn very obviously is Allah is never acting according to his ilm. Allah does not act according to his ilm. Allah gives us the margin. Allah gives us this bracket of working according to our free choices, to work according to what we consider it to be right, according to our knowledge, we work according to that, and that's how our istidadat, our capabilities, our potentials surface up, and we become mustahak and deserving of either sawab or the iqab because of our own choices. Not that Allah is already acting according to his knowledge, because he already knows everything what is going to happen at the end of the day, but he did not act according to that. Now, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bother to send down one messenger to a nation when Allah knows that the whole nation is going to deny him according to his absolute knowledge? Why would he bother to send? Except very, very few people. Because he's not acting on his knowledge. Isn't that right? Because he knew that people are going to deny, but that's not the policy of Allah to act according to his ilm. The policy is still send the Prophet and let us do the Itmam al-Hujjat and then see how the people react. At least give them a chance. So Allah never acts according to his ilm al-ghayb. Otherwise, there was no reason to send any of the Prophets. He already knew how many people will be muti and obedient and how many will be kafir and munafiq, and sent all the kafir and munafiq straight away to the hell and all those very few mu'min people to the heaven, and that's it. He never did that. He gave chances. Isn't that right? So he is not acting according to his knowledge. He is giving us the chance, equal opportunity for every human, whether he's a mu'min or a kafir or a munafiq, because the Prophet is there, everybody can go and learn and accept his teachings without a difference. So this is how the equal opportunity and equal chances are given to all, and not according to his knowledge. So, in the same way is how the Prophets used to, how the Holy Prophet and the Imams alayhi salatu was salam used to work, exactly in the same way, not according to the ilm al-ghayb, but according to the zahir. Remember what the Prophet has said, that Allah has commanded me to act according to the zahir. Innama aqdi alaykum bil bayyinati wal ayman. I do my qadawat upon you with the bayyinat, with the Islamic evidences, wal ayman, and the qasam. So the Prophet never used to do qadawat in the disputes of the people and conflicts of the people according to his ilm al-ghayb, because he has the ilm al-ghayb mutlaq, that this guy is has done this and this and this haram thing, so let us just do qadawat according to my ilm al-ghayb without seeking witnesses against him. No, Prophet never used ilm al-ghayb in any qadawat. That's not what he was commanded, and that's not, none of the Imams used to do the qadawat with their ilm al-ghayb. They used to do qadawat with the zahir, except for Imam Mahdi alayhi salatu was salam. For, because he is going to, he is not going to stand in need of seeking any witnesses. That situation is totally different. So the second issue about the concept of imtihan is, what are the wasail, what are the means of imtihan? When Allah is bound to test us, Allah is going to test us anyway, whether we like it or not, whether we believe it in it or not, in any way, Allah is going to test us. So now, how are we tested? The ayat which I recited in the beginning of my speech, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. So every nafs is going to taste death, in other words. And وَنَبْلُوكُمْ, and we will test you. We test you with the khair, with shar and khair. That means Allah is going to test us. In the light of this verse, we understand that through all the happy occasions and all the bad occasions that we face in our life, all the happy times and all the bad times, we are tested by Allah through all the happy times and all the bad times, and through shar and khair, and of course, wa ilayna turja'oon, and to us you will be returned back. So, لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. Another verse of Holy Quran informs us that you will be certainly tested through your, you know, money and your nafs, anfus, your lives. In other words, so our lives are put to test. Our money, our finances are subject to the test of Allah. So these are all the things that we will be tested about, and of course our children, our family members, they're all part of the happinesses that we have, all part of the good that we have, and we will be put to test through all of these things. Yeah, I'm not doing the exact translation, of the ayat. I'm explaining in my own words. Now, when we are put to test by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reaction, rududul fi'l, you know, what in Farsi we say, aksul amal. The reaction, rududul fi'l of the humans are different. Some of the humans, which most of the humans are like this, you know, a majority of the humankind is like this, that they start objecting, or they start becoming intolerant. They start showing with their actions that they're not ready to tolerate. They're very much disturbed. So, إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا. That's the nature of a human. When shar strikes him, dadu faryad. A human starts shouting, screaming, objecting, complaining. Why is it happening to me? Why me? What did I do wrong? You know, this type of behavior towards Allah's decisions. Dadu faryad, ahubuka, and complain, objection. Why me? So this behavior is the common reaction by a huge majority of the human beings towards Allah's decisions when they are put to test and they face the hardships in their life. The second behavior is of those who are, are salih, who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the ones who, إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. They say that certainly we belong to Allah and towards Him we are returning back. So they have istiqamat. The behavior of the salihin is istiqamat. They are steadfast on their fara'iz, their takleef shar'i, their duties towards Allah. No matter what happens to us, our qiyam al-wazifa, al-qiyam bil-wazifa, our duty towards Allah will be continued to be done smoothly. We will not stop our fariza and duties towards Allah. We have tahammul, we have sabr, we have istiqamat and resilience. We continue to do what we are obliged to do. This is how the pious and salih people are, and that's how they do. That's the second reaction of some people. The third reaction of even further less number of people is actually not just tahammul and sabr, actually they have shukr. Look at what we say when we read the ziyarat of Ashura. At the end of ziyarat, we put our head in the sajda and we say, Allahumma lakal hamdu hamda shakirin. Isn't that right? Lakal hamdu hamda shakirin laka ala musabihim. That means, oh my Lord, that means Allahumma lakal hamdu. All the praise is yours only. Lakal hamdu is hasr, is inhisarul hamd fi zatillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the praise is yours only. Lakal hamdu hamda shakirin, the way the shakirin people praise. Ala musabihim. Lakal hamdu hamda shakirin laka ala musabihim. You know, on the musab of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his companions, in other words. So musab means the, you know, we are under the musibat of Imam Hussein. We are subjected, we are mubtala with this musibat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and we getting mubtala with this musibat, we getting affected with this musibat, we are still obliged towards you to say thank you. So even though we get musab on Imam Hussein's musibat, but we still say to Allah, thank you. This is the level number three of very few people who actually end the musibat, they thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember the famous sentence of Hazrat Zainab salamullahi alayha, when she came to the janazah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Allahumma taqabbal minna hadha al-qurban. Oh my Lord, accept from us this sacrifice. You know, كَيْفَ وَجَدْتَ صُنْعَ اللَّهِ بِأَخِيكَ. When Ibn Ziyad rahmatullah alayhi taunted the stunts on Hazrat Zainab, and she, how do you see Allah's behavior towards your brother? And Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha replied, مَا رَأَيْتُهُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا. I don't see it except jameel. That means the jamal of Allah is the mazhar of the jamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this level, where this is the highest level of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So basically, there are some people who do hamd on the musibat that arrive upon them. They do the hamd and shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just they have sabr, but they also do hamd and shukr. This is the third reaction of very few precious people. And the fourth reaction, which belongs to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu was-salam, is that when the imtihan arrives from Allah, they are actually with the ishq and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they embrace the imtihan and fitna and iftinan from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They go after the bala because of their extreme love towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just they are ready to do the hamd, but actually they love to embrace it. This is a very high level. Just like, if you remember, I have mentioned several time, long time ago, in one of my speeches, that incident of what Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam replied to Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari when Imam Baqir alayhi salam came to see him for his iyadat, when Jabir was sick, and he's the only sahabi of Rasulullah who survived till the time of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, and Prophet had asked Jabir to say salam to Imam Baqir alayhi salam. And when Imam Baqir alayhi salam came for his iyadat, Jabir was sick, and he started to explain his, you know, that I have reached a time when, you know, old, I consider my elderly age to be better than the youth, than the young age. And I consider sickness and illness and maraz to be better than sihat. And I, you know, so basically he started to express this type of expressions. And Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, in his response, gave this response, which is actually the behavior of all the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and that's the level number four which we are discussing, where he had said, Amma ana ya Jabir, fa in ja'alani Allahu shaykhan, uhibbu shaykhukha. As far as I am concerned, O Jabir, if Allah makes me old, I would start loving elderly age. If Allah makes me young, I will start loving the young youth and young age. If Allah makes me sick, I will start loving sickness. Maraz, I will love the maraz. In other words, you know, he said once. And if Allah gives me shifa, I will start loving shifa. So basically, they don't love anything. They love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah decides and loves for them, that's what they love. So this is the highest level. This is the highest level of not loving and not wishing anything except what Allah wishes for you. And this is the level which belongs to Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. That's the reaction number 4 towards the imtihan and bala and musibat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But all these imtihanat, brothers and sisters, are actually, that's how our isti'dadat surface up. Remember what Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Imam Hussain alayhi salam, inna laka ladarajat lan tanalaha illa bishahada. You have certain levels that you would never reach without shahadat. So Imam Hussain alayhi salam has to go through this process of shahadat so that he reaches that high levels. Inna laka ladarajat lan tanalaha illa bishahada. So these tests actually bring our istidadat and potentials to surface up, and that's how we reach those high levels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for those people who succeed in these tests. Now, coming to the hal and solution, and that's the last point of our discussion tonight, coming to the hal and solution of towards this imtihan, how to be successful, how to pass the tests. The most important solution is basirat and ma'rifat. As long as we have this basirat and wa'i and correct Islamic understanding and shanakht, and we will have the Islamic, you know, jahanbini Islami, Islamic worldview. And when we look at the things around us, look at ourselves, look at everything else with the Islamic worldview, then we will realize what Ahlul Ma'rifat have already mentioned and informed us, what Ahlul Ma'rifat have already informed us, that basically we have so many ni'mats of Allah which are uncountable. We are all fani. We are doomed to everything, and every ni'mat of this world is doomed to end. Every material thing of this world is doomed to end. This whole dunya is nothing but a ma'bar, a bridge that we need to cross. All the ni'mats are the amanat of Allah that He will take it away from us. And death is not the end of the world, but it's actually an intiqal and transfer from one stage of life to another form and another stage of life, which is eternal. And none of our good deeds which we did with ikhlas are going to be wasted. So this kind of understanding is received if we have the correct Islamic worldview and jahanbini and basirat, and that's how we will be at least as a minimum ready to fall in the category number 2 of those pious people who say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That's the minimum. That's the minimum which is required for every mu'min. If he is not on the higher, further high levels, at least he stays on this type of level, that and whenever a musibat, he encounters a musibat, he is ready to say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Also, it is very important that we look at what happened to other people. I had a lot of other points which I had mentioned, but I think it is going to take a long time. But I will, inshallah, mention that some other time because of the time constraints. I will just mention one more hadith here from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, where he has said
to Imam Ali alayhi salam that Ya Ali, walit-ta'ibi salasu alamat.
For a ta'ib person, as we want to do the tawbah from our sins, a ta'ib person has three signs. That's how we can judge that we are now ta'ib in the real sense. Our tawbah is, you know, we have been considered as ta'ib by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the real sense. These are three alamat and signs. It's tanabul maharim. He abstains from the harams. Wal hirsu fi talab al ilm. And he has greed towards learning the knowledge. So why do we do the sins that we end up in different types of imtihanat and tests in a lot of cases, which is because of our own sins? So in order to avoid this situation, the solution is the tawbah from all the sins. And in order to judge we did the tawbah correctly, we need to find these three signs in ourselves. It's tanabul maharim, and now onwards we abstain from the harams. And second of all, we seek the knowledge. Because of our jahl and ignorance, we end up doing the sins. And because if we seek the knowledge, if we know, we will not do it. وَأَنْ لَا يَعُودَ إِلَى الذَّنْبِ كَمَا لَا يَعُودُ الْحَلِيبُ إِلَى الضَّرْعِ. And the person does not return back to the sin the way the milk does not return back to the breast. So what a great example Prophet has given in his hadith to Imam Ali alayhi salam, that, you know, we don't get back to the sin the way the milk does not get back to the breast. So this is the way a person makes a commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I would not get back to the sin. Because the time of death is hidden from all of us, and the only solution for us to abstain from the to become ta'ib and do the tawbah from the harams is that we do tawbah straight away after the sin, because we don't know when are we going to die. Soon after the sin we do the tawbah, and not just to wait till the late night and we do tawbah before sleeping. Especially when you find that the behavior of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is seeking one more night as muhlat. Umar ibn Sa'd attacked on the 9th of Muharram, Tasu'a. Imam Hussein sent Abu Fadl Abbas to seek one more night, because he want to spend one more night in prayers. Because Allah knows, Anni uhibbu salata. Allah knows that I love prayers. So Imam Hussein's camp, everybody is reading Quran and dua, istighfar and munajat and salat. This is the connection and ittisal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that in the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, it is said that inna allaha man arad allahu bihil man arad allahu bihil khair qadhafa fi qalbihi hubba al-husayn wa hubba ziyaratihi. Whomsoever Allah wishes khair for him, Allah puts the love of Hussein and love of his ziyarat in his qalb. So this is the sign of khair, if we have the love of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the love of his ziyarat. Everything has a fixed reward in the eyes of Allah. Prayers has a reward, fasting has a reward. You know, all the good deeds have a fixed miqdar and kal and wazn and reward for that deed. The only thing hadith says, the thing for which Allah did not fix a kal or, you know, an amount or miqdar, nothing is fixed for that, is the tear which is shed in for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Ashq for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This has no kal, nothing is fixed for it. No price tag is fixed yet. You know, Ayatullah Sayyid Ahmad Khunsari, rahmatullah alayh, when he was such a great and pious person, when he prayed his prayers of his full life three times in his life. That means he himself repeated the prayers of his whole life three times. And at the time of his death, close to the time of his death, he said that I have nothing that I am taking with me except the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and except the tears that I shed over Imam Hussain alayhi salam. This is what I am taking with me. Imam Hussain alayhi salam is also Qatilul Abra. He has said, Ana Qatilul Abra. I am the person who is maqtul of tears. La yazkuruni mu'min illa sta'bara. That means no mu'min will mention me except that he will have tears in his eyes. In other words, so Imam Hussain alayhi salam, the whole test of Imam Hussain is the greatest of all the tests. But some of the tests are really unique, especially the three wida that Imam Hussain alayhi salam had. There was one wida with Ali Asghar, and there was one wida with Hazrat Sakina, and there was one wida with Imam Sajjal and Hazrat Zainab. These are very, very great tests of Imam Hussain. It's not easy, brothers and sisters, to leave when you know that you are going to die, and you leave your family members intentionally, and you are doing the farewell and wida. So we find that Hazrat Sakina said, Mahlan, he said to her father, that means wait for a while, hatta atazawwad, so that I can fill my eyes, I can see you, because he knew that Imam Hussain is not going to come back. And find the final moments, we find Imam Hussain, of course, stopped. He got off the horse and he took his daughter in his lap, and that's how he was doing farewell to his daughter. It is very hard for Imam Hussain, and in the final moments we find Imam Hussain and Hazrat Zainab, they both came into the khaymah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, when he opened up his eyes, he started to ask the questions, where is Muslim? He's talking about Muslim ibn Awsaja. Where is Habib? Imam Hussain is replying back, Qad Qutila, Qad Qutila. Each person, that he has been killed, he has been killed. And where is my uncle? He is asking about Abul Fadl Abbas. Imam Hussain replied the same answer, Qad Qutila, he got killed. And finally, when Imam Sajjad says that, where is, he's talking, Ayn Akhi Ali, where is Ali Akbar? Imam is asking about Ali Akbar. Imam Hussain did not say, Qad Qutila. The riwayat says, it's very hard. It's very hard for a father to mention about the qatl of his son, so beloved son, who is the shabih of Rasulullah from every aspect. Imam Hussain did not say Qad Qutila. Imam Hussain said that there is no one remaining among the men. There is no one remaining other than me and you. And finally we find that Imam Hussain alayhi salam, when Hazrat Sajjad heard that, he was about to stand up to grab some shamshir and to attack the enemies, but Hazrat Zainab said to him that you are Mariz, and of course that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, his maidan, in some of the narrations, scholars have mentioned that Imam Hussain has said to him that your maidan of jihad is Karbala, in Kufa and Sham. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he transferred the asrar ul imam.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله 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 اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين قيم الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم قعنا الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من انصاره واشياعه واتباعه واعوانه بجاه محمد واله الطاهرين. Please recite one سورة الفاتحة and three times سورة الإخلاص for مرحومة كنيز فاطمة. Pass.